and listen to the message tonight and use it for your glory. God, you know that I know that I'm nothing. I have nothing special to offer, but you love me enough to save me. You've called me to preach, and please, I ask you, please, Lord, use me in a mighty way. Your precious holy name, amen. Go to Romans chapter 6, please. We're going to go two places, Romans chapter 6 and Romans chapter 3. So just go to Romans 6, and you'll be able to turn over a few pages to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 6 and Romans chapter 3. So glad all you're here tonight. I love you. Appreciate you. And let's get 30 next week. Let's just do it. Let's get 30 next week. Bring a friend. Make sure every one of you are here. If everybody here now is here next week, I have no doubt that we'll have 30 because I'm going to make some phone calls. Say, hey, you got to be here. Make sure you're here. So make sure everybody here this week is here next week as well. Romans chapter 3 and Romans chapter 6. And we got about 30 minutes. And that should be more than enough time. I want to finish preaching about 25 and have time for an invitation, but we have to be out of here at 8:05 because we have the bus ride that goes home. All the little kids' classes are done as well. And we don't want them running around like maniacs, terrorizing the church. Okay? Romans chapter 3 and Romans chapter 6. Let's start in Romans chapter 3. I'm going to read two familiar verses. If you've been in church any amount of time in your life, you will remember these verses and know these verses. I'm going to put these down here so I don't forget. Okay, Romans chapter 3, and for the next 25 minutes, please pay attention. When we're reading in our Bibles, look down at the Bible. When I'm talking and not reading the Bible, please look up here at me. Make sure you're sitting up straight. Don't be talking to your neighbors. This message can help you, and it can change your life if you listen to the Word of God as it is preached. Romans chapter 3, look down at verse 23. Okay, verse 23, you may know it, and this is what it says. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If you've never heard that verse, I'm going to read it again. It says this. Actually, I can recite it. I've known this verse since I was a child. It's a very familiar verse that you learn as a kid if you grow up in church. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The word sin, definition that's been given, is it means to miss the mark, a transgression of the law, anything that God doesn't like. I think all of us know what sin is. We could name off many: lying, cheating, stealing, fighting, cursing, committing adultery, cheating on somebody, cheating on a test. All the way we could go. There are many different kinds of sin, but really the bottom line, anything that God does not approve of is sin. It's sin. Okay, and the Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned. If you've ever committed a sin in your life, would you raise your hand? Okay. I'm looking around, seeing if there's anybody perfect in the house tonight. And that, is Shea Diamond, you perfect? Yeah, I believe it. She ain't perfect. We know that. None of us are perfect. We're all sinners. We've all messed up. I've messed up today. Some of you messed up today. Some of you messed up in the past 20 minutes. Listen, the wrong kind of thoughts are sin. Okay? The wrong kind of attitude is sin. Listen, you say, well, I didn't say anything rude to that person. But you thought it. That's sin. Okay, we've all sinned. We've all made mistakes. Now go to Romans chapter 6. And this is where we're going to take the message from. Romans chapter 6 in verse 23, talking about sin again. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. You'll know this verse as well, many of you. It says this in Romans 6, 23. For the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. And there's that happy ending of the verse. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Praise the Lord. Listen to that verse. It starts off really negative. The wages of sin is death. But then it says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Listen, what that's saying is, listen, although there is a payment for sin, although there is a price for sin, although, listen, when we sin as a child, we may get grounded or spanked or punished or whatever. But listen, in our lives, the sins that we commit, we're supposed to pay a price to the Lord, and that's death and hell. Listen, but Jesus, praise the Lord, he died on the cross for us. It says right there, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, because of what he did on the cross. So even though sin is so, listen, it's a powerful thing, and it sends us to hell, but because of what Jesus did on the cross, we don't have to go to hell. That's awesome. Many of you in this room, I believe most of you that I've talked to, you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've asked him to forgive you of your sins, and you got saved. I remember when I was 11 years old, and actually, oh man, awesome enough, Brother Brown, today is September 9th, I put it on Facebook this morning, 14 years ago today, I got saved. I was 11 years old, man. I was 11 years old. I was living in Massachusetts. And crazy enough, as an 11-year-old boy, I was running the sound system. They used to record, you know, they record on, like, I'm recording on this right now. They do it on the computer. We used to have to do it on cassette tapes, old school. How many don't know what a cassette tape is? Anybody? Eh, it's all right. Okay, she's a liar. It's all right. Cassette tapes. I used to have to sit there in the back of the church, and the pressure would be preaching, and if he went super long, the tape would finish, and I'd have to open it and turn the tape around and keep recording, and that was my job. And listen, I grew up in church. I had heard the gospel message. I'd heard about salvation. I'd heard about sin and heaven and hell, and I knew all the answers. I knew all the verses, but I had never truly accepted Christ as my Savior. As a young boy, I was told that I had prayed, but I didn't remember it. It wasn't real to me, and on that day, September 9th, 2001, 2 days before September 11th happened, I was sitting in church on a Sunday morning, flipping the tape deck and doing my job, and the pastor preached, and I had been dealing with doubting my salvation for a long time, fear of hell, fear of not being saved and dying and something happening to me. And that morning, I went down to the altar by myself. I already knew what I needed to do, and I knelt down there and asked Jesus Christ to save me on that morning. 14 years ago today, praise God, I am saved. I can look at that verse, Romans 3:23, the end, and I accepted that gift from God, eternal life, through what Jesus did on the cross. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But that is not what I'm preaching on tonight. I'm not talking about the gift of God, although I love preaching about salvation and the gift of God and His grace and His mercy. But my message doesn't come from the end of verse 23. It comes from the beginning. And the title of tonight's message is this: For the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. I think of my son Donald right now. Okay, it's amazing. Donald is 4. He starts preschool on Monday. I cannot believe it. It's crazy. He's getting so big. Seth is going to be 3 in January, and it's amazing as a 2.5 little boy. Seth, the guy is just a little sinner. Okay, he's just a wicked child. He never listens. You know, how many of you have seen Seth? You know Seth, fat Seth. Okay, some of you know him very well. This, because he's fat. That's why. This is Seth. Okay, he's running, and he's going out into the road, and I'll be over here and I'll say. You know, from over here, I'll say, let's do this. Seven! You know, he always swings his arm, he'll stop and look at me, and then just keep going. And that's it. Seth will be, if you've seen him at our house, he'll climb up on the little stools, and there'll be a chocolate thing up there, and he'll start climbing up the stools, and he's doing whatever it takes. It's amazing, for a fat kid, he can move really well. And he'll get up. And I'll see him reaching, and I'll say, Seth! And he goes. And then he'll get down real quick. Sometimes it's great. He'll have pretend this is like somebody's not supposed to have. Probably wouldn't be, actually. He'd grab this. And I'd say, he wouldn't know I'd be watching him, and he'd have it, and he'd be trying to open it up and gnawing on the wrapper. And I would say, Sethy! And he'll just go. And he'll throw it and leave. Listen, that's just Seth. Even as a little 3-year-old kid, almost 3, he's a sinner. It's just built into him, the sin nature. Listen, Sethy, I could go on and on and on and on and on, and he would I could tell story after story. Donald, I'll never forget when Donald started to say no. That was like his big word. He'd be like, Donald, you want to get spanking? No. Donald, do you want to, go to the store? No. Donald, do you want to eat today? No. Donald, do you want to sleep inside? No. I mean, anything you could ask him, and he would say no over and over and over and over again. And he just didn't get it. He was a sinner. I was a sinner. I'm still a sinner. I mean, we sin. It's just our sin nature. I think about times as a teenager. Remember, I took a bike ride with my buddy when I was probably like 13 years old. And my dad said, don't go too far from the house. I remember like, whoa. Whenever I was over at my friend's house, we could ride bikes wherever we wanted. We'd be gone all day long, riding bikes all throughout the city, and we had a blast. Well, then I get to my house, my dad's like, don't go too far. I'm like, what of it, man? I'll go as far as I want. my dad, it's a really stupid idea. So, what I did? I went really far. And, far and long. And he said, don't go very far and don't be gone long. Well, I went really far and I was gone really long. So I kind of was like missed the whole point. So I remember we're getting ready to get back towards the house, and my buddy Joe's like, hey, should we go back? I'm like, no, let's go somewhere else too. And I'm like, I guess we'll just stop by, get a quick drink of water, and we'll go. Well, I get to the house, pull up the driveway, and my mom walks out. She has this look on her face like, yeah. I said, hey, what's going on? She goes, your father's out looking for you. And now granted, my dad's a cop, so he's seen a lot of bad stuff, so he's a lot more nervous about, you know, his kids, about, you know, he knows the city better than I ever would. So he was a lot more nervous. So as a teenager, I didn't get that. Now I look back and say, well, that's why he didn't want us to go far, be gone long, because he's dealing with, you know, dead kids. He's dealing with you know, drug dealers and all this other crap that he has to see. And so I didn't really realize that at the time. Well, she says, your father's out looking for you. I said, ooh, not good. So as she's saying that, I see my dad pull in. I'm like, man, anywhere, but hey, Lord, come now. Please return. Bring me home. And he didn't at the time. My dad pulls up and he gets out of the car and says, Jane, bring, my mom's name is Jane. He goes, Jane, bring Joe home. Danny needed to go home. I had some buddies with me. And he just was like, you know, get in the house. I'm like, I don't want to get in the house. I want to stay out here in public where everybody can see, you know, and where they can hear my screams. And so we go inside. And listen, I got chewed out. I got in trouble and you know, learned my lesson. But I said all that, you know, I deliberately sinned. I deliberately went against what my dad wanted. I'm a sinner. And listen, here's the bottom line. I mean, I've got all these funny stories. They're hilarious. They really are. I got more I could tell, stupid mistakes I've made. But here's the bottom line. I want you to pay attention now. Bottom line is this. Sin is not funny. It's not funny. Oh, yeah, little Sethy running around like, I mean, that's, we can laugh at that. You know, but you know what's not funny? Some of your stories that you have that you could tell. Of parents that have abandoned you. That's not funny. That's sin. It's not funny. What's not funny is you know, the alcoholic who comes home and beats his wife. It's not funny. Beats his kids. I got a story I can think of right now of a teenager who used to come here, and he told me this story about his dad coming home drunk once, beating up his mom and him and his little brothers. He was trying to kind of protect his little brothers from seeing it, and it was just so loud, and then he tried to intervene, and he got... And that's sin. It's not funny. It's not funny. I think of the story I told Sunday morning or last Wednesday night about when we talked about being teachable, about PJ, the heroin addict that I knew. And it's not funny. Sin is not funny. Sin is what sends people to hell. Sin is what separates people from God. It's what destroys marriages. That's what sin is. Sin is every divorce that you can think of, the cause of it is sin. Whatever it may be, whether it's anger or cheating, it's sin. Okay? On and on we go. The destruction that sin brings. You look at people's lives, drug addicts, and their lives are just destroyed. Why? Because of sin. The attitude that sin creates. When you get away from God and sin is in your life, you know, the attitude that sin creates. Murders, abortions, fighting, screaming, yelling, broken homes, child abuse. On and on we can go, all caused by sin. The disrespectful mindset of this generation towards authority, towards anything that's in authority. This is a disrespectful attitude that is so evident and so prevalent nowadays. That's sin. That's sin. On and on. The marriage that it destroys. That's sin. And it's not funny. The wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. Listen, sin is what caused, there was just a suicide. The preacher that's going to be at the rally on Saturday in his church, a 31-year-old lady committed suicide. Sin. Sin in her life. Whatever it was caused her to get to that point. Sin. On and on we could go. I think of preachers that I know that have fallen, that have made mistakes, and I think of a preacher that broke the law and sexually abused a young girl and was in jail. Listen, that's sin. And it's not funny. Sin kills. The wages of sin is death. Sin kills. Sin destroys. And tonight I want to talk for the next 10 minutes or so, 15 minutes, about some of the things that sin kills. Listen up, please, well. Because listen, teenager, here's the thing. Some of you, we all have sin in our lives. We all have sin problems. We all have things that we struggle with. But some of you have been affected by somebody else's sin. Somebody else has messed up or sinned or done something stupid, and you are reaping what they sowed. You are dealing with the after effect of their sin. You need to listen to this. Sin is a big deal. It's a big deal. Sin in your life is a big deal. We got to take care of it. Number one, what is something that sin kills? Sin, number one, sin kills joy. Okay, go to if you have your Bibles, go to Galatians. And if you don't get there in time, just listen because I want you to get there quickly. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Sin kills joy. Happiness. Listen, happiness and joy are two different things. People can get drunk and they can be happy, quote unquote, for a few hours because they're having a good time and laughing around, but that's not joy. Joy is a lasting inner sense of happiness, a true joy. And sin in your life kills joy. It kills it. You cannot have joy in your life when you have sin in your life that you're not trying to deal with. Okay. Number one, sin kills joy. Have you ever seen a happy drug addict? Probably not. Oh yeah, maybe when they're high or they're stoned, yeah, they're having a great time. But when they're having those withdrawals, when they have an addiction, there's no happiness, there's no joy there. A happy alcoholic. Oh yeah, when they're drunk, they're a blast. But not when they're hungover in the morning. Not when they're in jail. Not when they're in jail for a DUI or for beating somebody up. They're not happy then. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think of sometimes sin becomes so powerful in a person's life. I think of, you know, convicted murderers. And you usually don't see any happy murders. Now, sometimes they're so filled with sin and evil that they got a smile on their face. But deep, deep inside, there's no joy there. There's no joy there at all. I think of when I went to court with a loved one of mine who was going through a divorce. And I went to court with them to try to support them. And I remember being in this court, in this courtroom and the whole building, and looking around in the hallways of all these broken families and broken marriages and people trying to get custody of kids, and hate and anger and yelling and arguing. And I'm like, wow, there's nobody happy here at all. Not just because they're paying a bunch of money to their lawyers, but because they're dealing with all these problems that sin has caused. Sin kills joy. Sin kills your joy in Jesus. If you got sin in your life right now, if you got something that you're doing, and listen, I could list sin after sin after sin, whether it's the wrong attitude, whether it's disrespecting your parents, whether it's hanging out with the wrong kind of friends, whether it's sexual sins and sleeping around, whether it's having a bad attitude towards authority, whatever it is that you are dealing with, because we all have sin in our lives. Some of you aren't dealing with the wrong kind of music. You listen to good music, but your attitude stinks. You got bitterness in your heart. Some of you don't struggle really with boyfriend, girlfriend stuff, but you're listening to rotten music, music that God hates. Maybe you got a mouth that just, you're making fun of people, disrespecting people, being mean, being a jerk. Listen, that's sin. Sin kills your joy in Jesus. When you got sin that you're not trying to deal with, you don't care about spiritual things. You don't care about what I'm preaching right now because the sin in your heart has overtaken it. And it's ruling you. You are a slave to that sin. And it is running your life. Just like the drug addict who is addicted to heroin or whatever the drug may be, they are a slave to that. They will do whatever it takes to get that next fix. And when you got anger or bitterness in your life, it will rule you. It will run your life. If you got past problems that things that have happened to you and you're upset or angry at your past, things that have happened to you, listen, that will run you. My wife has said it many times. She said, don't let your story own you. You own your story. And it's so true. Some of you have been through, you've been to hell and back pretty much here on earth with things that have happened to you out of your control by somebody else's stupid mistakes, and you're the one suffering for it. And maybe you're not doing the same thing that that person did to you, but you struggle with anger and bitterness and hate towards that person, and that is sin too. That is sin too, and you've got to deal with it, because if you don't deal with it, you will never have true joy in the Lord, and you'll never get closer to God until you give that up. You won't care about spiritual things. You won't care about coming to church. You'll come to church and just sit, and you'll go one ear and out the other, and you won't be changed at all. You won't care about going soul winning or reaching the lost because you've got your own sin in your life that is ruling you, and it'll kill that joy in your life. It kills joy, the joy in other people. Listen, if I have sin in my life that I don't deal with and take care of and try to continually fix, and I let my sin rule my life, I would never be able to be a youth pastor because you guys would tick me off so bad, and I would probably quit. But listen, I love you guys. I have fun with you guys. I love being around you. You're the best teenagers in the world. And listen, if I can, listen, because I got sin problems too. We all have sin that we struggle with that we have to deal with, whatever it may be. And if I deal with the sin in my life and say, God, I need your help with this. Please forgive me of that. Please help me have a better attitude. Whatever it is in my life that I get right as a youth pastor, listen, then I'll be able to have joy in other people and hang out with you guys and have fun. But if I don't deal with the sin in my life, you know what? You'll say one thing to me and I'll get annoyed. I'll get frustrated. I'll get mad. I'll be short and I won't be, I have no joy at all in other people. Now, that's the reason why some of you can't get along with anybody. Because you have sin in your life, it's robbing your joy. It's killing the joy that you should have in other people. It's been preached so many times in the past few months at the camp out and on, how we're supposed to be a youth group and be there for each other and help each other out. If you got sin in your life, whether it's pride, anger, whatever it may be that you're not dealing with, you want to have joy in other people. You look around at this crowd and say, man, what a bunch of idiots, what a bunch of jerks. Oh, they annoy me. They're so rude. They're so this or that, the other thing. It'll kill your joy in other people. Sin in your life. Sin will also kill joy in yourself. I'm not saying you got to love yourself so much you think you're the best thing in the world. But listen, God created you. The Bible says you're fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are his works. Listen, you're a creation of God. You have no joy in yourself. You don't like yourself. You look in the mirror and say, you can't stand yourself. Some of you young ladies, young men don't deal with it a lot. Some guy, young men look in the mirror and say, man, what a good looking guy. Young ladies, listen, that's the truth. Young ladies, oh, it's usually not the same. It's just you look in the mirror and you hate what you see. You say, man, why can't I look this way or look like that person, or look like this person or whatever, and you hate yourself. You're not satisfied and you have no joy in yourself. You wish you were somebody else. Listen, when there's sin in your life, you won't have any joy in yourself. You won't, you'll be, insecurity is something that all of us struggle with, I believe. But your insecurity will be so strong in your life, it'll rule you. And you'll never want to do anything. You'll never want to go anywhere. You never want to get close to anybody because you have no joy in yourself. Sin will do that. You're the way that God wants you to be. What else does sin kill? We got to move quick. Number two, sin kills relationships. Sin kills relationships. I had to go to Galatians chapter 6. Go to verse 7. This kind of goes with the first point and the second, well, all the point, but verse 7 says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. There is a price for sin. It will kill your joy. It will kill relationships. There's a story I just read today. If you've looked at the news or even on Facebook, it's all over the place. They just had something come out a few weeks ago. This a website called Ashley Madison. Ashley Madison, it's a website where you can actually go on and put your name information in. It's supposed to be private, and you can have an affair. Their theme of their motto is, life is short, have an affair. Cheating on your wife, cheating on your husband. And there's so many users on it. Well, a hacker got in there and said, if you don't meet my ransom demand or whatever, I'm going to release all the names. Well, they didn't give them their demands, so this hacker, this computer hacker, released all of the names of the Ashley Madison users. There was famous people on there, celebrities on there trying to get their lawyers, but their names were already out in the open. Senators, celebrities, Christians, and you know what else? Pastors, youth pastors, many of them. I heard after that, those names came out, 400 pastors had to resign their ministry the next Sunday because they were on Ashley Madison, cheating on their spouse. I just read a story today, a pastor, he'd been pastoring for, I believe, 25 years, older man, committed suicide a few days back because his name was on the list. And that sin, it destroyed him. You know, it killed his relationship. He'd been married for like 40 years. And he left a note and said, I was on the site, my name was on there, and he just couldn't get past it. Sin kills relationships. It kills relationships. With marriage, if I have sin in my life and I don't get it right, you know whose relationship is going to fail in my life? Me and my wife. I will not be able to be close to my wife if we have sin between us, or the sin in my life or sin in her life that we don't deal with. Our marriage would fall apart. Your relationship with your parents. If you have sin in your life, it will kill the relationship with your parents. Kill it. You got disrespect there or dishonor or you're not obeying their rules, you will kill the relationship with your parents. I'll say what Brother Clark said, if you're not right with your parents, you're not right with God. That's the truth. Sin will kill that relationship. Some of you have some sin in your life right now. You need to get it right or you're going to lose that relationship with your parents. And sometimes you can't get it back. Don't let it kill it. Your relationship with authorities in your life, your youth pastor, your pastor, you've got sin in your life, you're going to ruin that relationship. You're not going to want to talk to me or get advice from me or listen to the preaching because you have sin in your life. It kills relationships. Let me read you a story. Okay, quickly. In 1991, a judge fined brothers Gino and Russell, and this is some Italian name, Capozziello is their last name, some Italian guys, okay, owners of a Bridgeport, Connecticut wrecking company. Okay, they got fined $900,000 for operating an illegal dump. Okay, here's what they were doing. In 1986, on the empty lots surrounding their facility, they began dumping debris and trash and garbage from buildings that they would tear down. Okay, eventually the mound of rubble and muck covered 2 acres and reached a height of 35 feet, almost like a three-story building. They had this giant pile of garbage illegally. Couldn't do it. Well, the state ordered them to clean it up, but the brothers claimed that there was no place to dump it legally in Bridgeport, and they could not afford to have it hauled away. While spending more than $330,000 the previous year to have the trash and debris moved away, they barely dented the pile. Listen up here. They barely dented the pile. Okay, they had all this garbage illegally dumped, and the judge found out. They got fined $900,000, and you got to move this stuff. They spent $330,000 trying to move stuff, and they barely dented it. According to Gino, one of the brothers, he said this: it was never supposed to get this high. It was never supposed to get this high. And that's exactly what sin will do in your life, teenager. It'll get to a point, and you'll say, you know what, it never was supposed to get this bad. I never was supposed to go this far. I never was supposed to let it get this bad. And sin will destroy your life. It'll kill the relationships, relationship with Jesus Christ. Listen, sin separates us from God. You cannot get close to God with sin in your life that you're not trying to deal with. We're not perfect. We're never going to be perfect. But if you're not trying to deal with your sin, you will not get close to God. You will not have a close relationship with Him. Unless you are, unless He's forgiving that sin that you ask Him to forgive you. Listen, people that are depressed, unanswered prayer, all these things go back to sin. Sin in our lives. If I do something that makes my wife unhappy, it's going to hurt our relationship. It's the same with the Lord. If you are doing things against what God wants and against His word, and you have sin in your life that you're not dealing with, God is not pleased. God is not happy. You've got to make it right. It kills your relationship with Jesus Christ. It kills your relationship with other people, like I just mentioned, with your parents. It'll hurt. Your sin has an effect on other people. Like I said, sin that others have committed, some of you are suffering from their sin. It's hurt your relationship. Some of you, your dad has left. He's abandoned you. You don't see him, and it makes you mad. That was his sin, but you're being affected with it. His sin killed your guys' relationship. And we can go on and on down that list of other relationships in your life. Sin kills relationships. And lastly, number two, sin kills God's plan. I'm going to read one verse and we'll be done. And teenager, I hope you're thinking right now of sin in your own life that you need to deal with. Because we're going to have an invitation in a minute. And listen, if you have things in your life that you are doing that you shouldn't be doing, whether it's anger, bitterness, the wrong kind of music, the wrong kind of friends, stuff on Facebook. Listen, Facebook is so many opportunities to sin. Things that you post, things that you message people, things that you like, things that you look at. On and on the list could go through the internet and through social media. Listen, if you got sin in your life, you've got to make it right tonight. It kills God's plan. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12 says this: there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Okay, and in chapter 16, in verse 25, this is what the Bible says. Proverbs 16:25, a totally different verse, says this: there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The same exact verse twice within two chapters. It's pretty important. Obviously, God wants us to hear that. He said it twice. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Whatever you got planned for your life, look up here. Whatever you got planned for your life, whatever you think in your life that you're doing that maybe you hear me preach against it, or you know the Bible says you shouldn't do it, and you say, well, I don't think it's that bad. There's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I don't care how right you think it is. I don't care what excuse you have. If God says it's not right, then it's not right. And the end thereof are the ways of death. Don't think that you know everything. I said last week, be teachable. If God's word says it, then believe it. Because sin in your life will kill God's plan. God has a purpose for you. Young ladies, God has a husband out there for you, a good Christian man that wants to help you do right and live holy and have a good Christian life. And some of you will miss it because of sin in your life. You will continue going down a road of sin and doing what you want in your ways, and you will miss God's way. You'll miss God's way completely. Young men, there's a lady out there for you. Some of you are preacher boys. There's a church out there up for you. There's a youth group out there for you that God wants you to be the youth pastor and preach to them and help them and change lives. And because you're doing your own thing, you will miss God's plan for your life. The sin in your life will kill it. Kill God's plan. The Bible says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which just so easily beset us. I said that last week. Sometimes, it's not something terribly awful that's going to have you miss God's plan. It's not a sin, but it's something that's maybe a good thing, but you're letting it take priority over God. Then it becomes a sin. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin, which is so both weights and sin. If you got sin in your life that God doesn't like, yeah, get rid of it. But if you have other things in your life that are taking away from what God wants for you, then that's sin too. Even if it's not a bad thing, like sports, like TV, like Facebook, these aren't bad things. But if they're taking away from what God wants for you, they become a sin in your life. Sin kills God's plan for you. You won't hear God's voice clearly. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me, is what the Bible says. If I regard iniquity, which is sin, which is the wrong kind of thing, if I regard it in my heart and don't care about it and don't deal with it, the Lord will not hear me. How many of you want God to hear your prayers? Raise your hand up. I want God to hear my prayers. Then you got to get sin right in your life. It'll kill God's plan for you. It'll kill God's plan for other people. Your sin could cause somebody else to mess up. The sin in your life, the attitude that you have, the anger, bitterness, whatever it means, it can affect somebody else. People are watching you. Younger brothers and sisters, and even in some cases older, they're watching you. Some of you, your parents aren't saved, and the way that you act at home and treat them, it's sin, and you're not helping them get closer to God at all. Some of them aren't saved. They'll never get saved because you haven't gotten rid of your sin and gotten right with God and done things the right way, and your sin will kill God's plan for other people. Some of you, your sin will cause you not to be in God's will. So all those people that you were going to help, that youth group I talked about, that church I talked about, young men that are supposed to be preachers, because of sin in your life, you won't be there to pastor that church in 10, 15 years. You won't be there to help that youth group out because of sin in your life. Young ladies, you'll miss God's plan because of sin right now. Tonight is the night to get it right. Tonight is the night to say, God, I'm sorry for the anger. I'm sorry for the bitterness. I'm sorry for the wrong kind of music that's just not filling my mind with the wrong kind of things. I'm sorry for what I'm looking at on the internet. I'm sorry for the way I'm treating my parents. God, I want to give that sin over to you. I want to get victory over it, and I want to be in your plan. I want to be in your will. God, please help. God will help you. It kills God's plan. Teenager, you've got to remember, you've got to believe me what I'm saying. The wages of sin is death. Kills joy. It kills relationships. And it kills God's plan for your life. So get away from your sin tonight. Get as far away from it as you can. If you got the wrong kind of music, then get rid of it. Delete it off your iPhone. Break the CDs. You need better music? I'll help you. You got a problem with your parents? Make it right. Say, Mom, Dad, I'm sorry for the attitude I've had. You look at the wrong thing on the internet? Say, tell your parents, you know what? I need you to set up some safeguards for me. I need you to put a password on there. Whatever it may be, make it right. Get as far away from it as you can. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Yes, sin brings death, but Jesus Christ will bring life. He'll give you that abundant life. Listen, he'll give you that great, successful Christian life, but you've got to get rid of your sin. Give that sin to God, lay it at the altar tonight, and say, Lord, please, I'm giving it over to you. Please help me. And he will. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Miss Tasha, could you play a hymn of invitation? Whatever you want, I surrender all. I don't care, we're not going to sing tonight. Here's the question, teenager. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. First things first. Is there anybody in here tonight say, Pastor Donald, I do not know where I go if I die. I don't know if I go to heaven. I don't know if I go to hell, but I'm a sinner. I've sinned, yes, but I don't want to go to hell. I've never asked Jesus Christ to save me. You can play whenever you get there, Miss Tasha. I do not know where I'm going when I die. I've never asked Jesus to save me. I do not believe that I am saved. And I want to get saved tonight. Would you raise your hand up so I can see it? Anybody like that? I'm not saved, Pastor Donald, but I want to get saved tonight. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to spend forever in a place called hell. I want to get saved tonight, and I want someone to talk to me about it. Anybody at all like that? Raise your hand up so I can see it. anybody at all. I'm not saved. All right. Here's the other question then. For Christian teenagers. Christian teenagers chime. Pastor Donald, there is sin in my life. Whether it's anger, wrong music, whatever it may be. Pastor Donald, there is sin in my life and I need to make it right tonight. Raise your hand up so I can see it. All over the room. Come down to the altar right now then. Come down, make it right. Don't wait any longer. Come down to an altar and say, God, I need your help. God, I need your strength. I don't want to live in this sin anymore. Oh, God, please help me. Maybe we get some of our workers up here to pray with our teenagers. We're not going to take long, teenager, just another few minutes, but take time and talk to God. Say, Lord, I've got sin. Like I don't want it to kill my joy. I don't want it to kill relationships. I don't want it to kill your plan. Lord, I want to be in your will. Lord, I want to strengthen the relationships in my life. God, I need your help.